Okay, I have to turn down the old levels because I'm terrible at yelling into a microphone. Anne Walker, welcome to Undercurrents. Can you outline for us briefly the current situation in Fiji?
Well, of course, I think you have to be actually living outside Parliament House in Suva to actually know what's happening immediately. But we have tried to maintain contact via the web page, and now we have many women from Fiji have turned up in New York for the special session called Beijing Plus Five. And we found many other things out from them. It would seem that George Speight, who is the person who moved into the Parliament House with the AK-47s 3 weeks ago and took over the Parliament and still has them all as hostage. There are something like 30 members of Parliament, including the Prime Minister, have been held hostage since 19th of May. We were expecting that he would release them today, but the latest we heard was that he's not going to release them because he doesn't have the word of the Great Council of Chiefs that he would be made Prime Minister of any new Parliament. So it seems to be a continuing stalemate, which is, of course, of great concern. Of even greater concern is the looting and the damage being done to particularly shops owned by Fiji Indians. And now we're hearing that doctors and lawyers are all being threatened. We've heard that the passport office has never had such a run on passports and people attempting to leave the country. So it would seem to be a situation of extreme insecurity with a lot of very vulnerable people caught in the middle of it.
Who is the man, George Speight? What has his role been in Fiji politics up until now?
As far as I know, he's had no role in politics. And that obviously you can correct that by looking into it more deeply. But to our knowledge, he was a businessman. He spent some time in both Australia and the United States. His residency status in Australia has been revoked by the government because of this. More recently, he has had contracts for some of Fiji's bigger projects, including Fiji Woods, which is the mahogany plantations in the west. His father, Sam Speight, was in the last parliament before the Labour Party was voted in and was able to get many good contracts for his son, George. Our understanding is that George Speight wanted to have one of the biggest contracts ever put out from the Fiji government, which is again to do with Fiji Woods, and because of a very shaky past and some evidence that he has absconded with funds from various companies, the Prime Minister, Mahendra Chaudhry, denied him the contract, and it was shortly after this was denied that he decided to march in with his colleagues and take them all hostage. It would seem to us to be very much a terrorist act of a failed businessman. We have other evidence, which comes from the Fiji Women's Crisis Centre, that says that they have given services to George Speight's wife in the past as a battered woman, someone who's violently beaten up. All of this points to someone who's not just a failed businessman, but is somewhat of a bully.
Now, he's claiming to represent Indigenous Fijian concerns about being run by Fiji Indians. Does that represent what's actually reflected in the general population?
Not to our knowledge. And that's becoming clearer now too, because even on CNN, which we saw here in New York 2 days ago, the people of Bisese on the West Coast held a press conference. It was made up of Fijians of Melanesian descent, Fijians of Indian descent, many other Pacific Islanders. They all gathered together, and the major spokesman was Sir Vijay Singh, former Attorney General of Fiji, and they all want Fiji to remain multiracial. They want to get on with their lives. They want to see things brought back to normal. They want the hostages released, and they want their elected Prime Minister put back in position. So this is coming from Indigenous Fijians, so-called. Fiji has gone through an enormous transition since that coup of 87, in which they have decided on different terminology, where all the citizens of Fiji are called Fiji Islanders. They've come through a major change in the constitution, and in fact had put a lot of things back in place, and things were moving ahead very well. For this to happen at this time has been devastating. And the women that are turning up now to this special session, I would say, are in a state of shock. are very, very shaky, are very anguished and anxious, are not certain about what the future holds for them. They're women of many races. They're women with Asian backgrounds, women with Indian backgrounds, women with Fijian, Melanesian, Indian backgrounds. They're all very shaky. They don't know what's going to happen. They're very angry with George Speight. They're very angry that the people that they elected in a free democratic election have been held hostage for 3 weeks. They're ashamed. They're ashamed of how Fiji looks in the world. I think it's just a very sad moment for Fiji.
Earlier on you mentioned the Great Council of Chiefs. How great a role does the traditional chiefly structures play in current Fiji politics?
Well, there are those of us who think it should no longer even be regarded as having a very powerful role. But in the new government it was agreed that those who had been traditional chiefs for three centuries or such would have a special role, would be somewhat like a Senate or an upper house, like a House of Lords. They don't hold the electoral power. They're appointed, they're not elected. So that the government as such, it's the member of parliament who are elected by the people who have the control, and then there's also an advisory position held by the Council of Chiefs. What makes this whole situation even more murky at this time is that the head of the Great Council of Chiefs is Sidiveni Rumbuka, who is not a chief himself, but was appointed to the position, I guess, because he led the last coup. But it makes it even more ridiculous. The whole situation in Fiji is made in a way more difficult because the chiefs in many parts of Fiji have old animosities. You have Bowens against Lowens, and then you have those from other parts of Fiji that think that they should have more power than the other chiefs should have, which is going back a long, long, long way into history, and it just muddies the waters. So to use them in this negotiating role, I think, must be very difficult for most Fijians to understand.
Trying to